This podcast is supported by Siemens, your partner for industrial-grade AI.
Hi there. Welcome to a new edition of the Industrial AI Podcast. My name is Peter Seeberg, and I'm your host. Today, I'm going to be talking to Jens Stapelfeld. He is the Global AI Lead AMD University Program. And Jens and I are going to be talking about AMD AI solutions. And if possible, we're going to concentrate on the industrial AI solutions. Hi, Jens.
Hi, Peter. Nice to be back at your show. I think it's been a while.
It's been a while, exactly. I was going to ask you, do you know how long it's ago?
No, but I think it's a couple of years and lots.
Yeah, a couple of years, 5 years. Do you recall what we talked about at that time?
Yeah, I think that was the very, very early days when we talked about our FPGA AI solutions and what we build in there. So we have been there quite some time already.
Exactly. You were with Xilinx at that time, isn't it? And we talked about the field programmable gate arrays, FPGAs. Yeah. Very good. Jens, why don't we start with you quickly introducing yourself to our listeners?
Yes, my name is Jens Stapelfeld. I'm since 30 years in the semiconductor space. I'm 10 years with AMD Xilinx now. So I came through the Xilinx acquisition into AMD. I was silly enough to do a part-time MBA looking into AI startups in Europe. And since then, I was really working in the AI ecosystem in different positions. And I recently moved into our CTO organization at the AUP, we call it. It's the AMD University Program, where I'm involved more on the academic side with startups and universities funding and lots of AI topics and around the whole portfolio from AMD.
Very good. That's what we're going to be talking about. And the Xilinx acquisition, that was, within those 5 years. So it's a couple of years back, I believe, right?
Yes, absolutely. That's a couple of years back. Since then, AMD has been very, very active in this space. And there are a couple of other investments in that area. Nod AI, ZT Systems, Lamini, and Silo AI, which is probably the most interesting one for Europe. Peter and the team is a great addition to our AI ecosystem.
We'll talk about those later. Why don't we start with you telling us what a global AI lead AMD university program does?
I think we have a long history with Xilinx and AMD working very close with universities on research projects and on giving them training material. So basically what the university program is doing is, preparing research material, doing donations on hardware. We are funding research projects. We have research resources and training resources. And that in close cooperation with universities worldwide. And we have a long track record in doing this. And I was always in using that material personally as well. So I'm a guest lecturer at a private university teaching FPGA, digital design, and the latest thing is agentic AI as well, so which is a big topic.
Sounds great. I've always said, I've been involved in training myself as well, or whenever I did like a presentation. And I haven't used this since a long time, but I've really always said like machine learning as what we talked about in the past. I think today is more AI. We're going to be talking about what are the latest, greatest developments in artificial intelligence. But I always said there's three pillars. There's hardware, software, and data, software being algorithms. And if so, today we're going to be talking about concentrating on hardware, right? Chips, hardware, processors, solutions, whatever the solutions are that you're going to be sharing with us. Now, there has been one company, no need to call out the name. It's not Intel, or I, as a former Intel employee, would rather not discuss them, but you want to, just to set the scene, if you feel that is right, then please do so. But this one company that has been reigning, shall I say, has controlled the AI chip market for a long time. Now, what really is my big interest, and I'm sure is the listeners' interest, is how AMD is going to break this company X monopoly. So tell us, from the beginning, since when has AMD been in the AI solution space?
I think with the history of and the Xilinx acquisition, one of the points was really the AI engines and the AI ecosystem we started. But AMD has been in there with GPUs as well. But I think I really don't like that question because it's much more than just the GPU stuff. And I think the point here is, it's the question, will AMD break, or how do we that in the market? And I think it's much more than just CUDA we are talking about and redefining the playing field. So first, our performance really speaks for itself for the GPUs, and the MI355X delivers more than tokens per second than the NVIDIA B200 and has a much better cost of ownership and 40% more the token costs per dollar. The second thing is really when we talk hardware, it's not just hardware. If you want to get something working, you need to have the software as well. And I think that's one of the crucial points as well. So second, our open ecosystem, our approach is a completely open ecosystem. And that's what we have done and worked on the last 5 years. It's much more a structural advantage we see with ROCm 7 now delivers industry-leading inference and training performance. So it's not just the training part. We see much, much more in training and perform and the inference performance you need for all this. And because this is open ecosystem, an open ecosystem can move much, much faster than the proprietary stack. And the third point is really it's enabling the choice at a global scale. So there are lots of things going on in the moment. There's, especially in Europe, the discussion about server and AI in Europe and the Middle East. So we started with hyperscalers in the US and Asia, but giving enterprises the opportunity to choose and to develop at their own speed instead of being locked in. So CUDA was, I think, the last 15 years. The next 15 years, I think it will be more open. It will be multi-vendor. It's more about cost optimized. And that's exactly what we lead at AMD in this shift going forward.
Okay, that sounds good. I think you kind of got into answering my next question, which would have been around exactly the thing they call by acronym for Compute Unified Device Architecture or CUDA. So you say by a combination of all the things you just mentioned, the performance and especially the open ecosystem, that's how you have and how you will in the future from today and from the past, how you will convince customers writing code for your framework, platform, and what is that? Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, I think it's working in the ecosystem and upstreaming open source things. So building silicon to be, it's just not just the silicon, it's the open ROCm stack. And it's working with the industry frameworks like PyTorch or VLLM or SGLang. So customers like Microsoft, Meta or Oracle or Courier, they're deploying AMD Instinct accelerators at scale today. And importantly, our ecosystem is open and enterprise can have a choice what they are doing and are not locked in. I think that's a very, very important thing. And we see in the moment that the open ecosystem is working faster than what a company alone can do in this huge, extreme, agile field like AI.
Right. So if you say open ecosystem, how should I understand that? I mean, I recall I'm not a day-to-day programmer, but I was many, many years ago. And I recall I was trying this machine, Japanese machine, Seiko Instruments. It's not important. There was some kind of library and it will tell me how to, you know, write a circle on the screen. I think the principle is always the same. So that's what is the command I gave. Now, if I want to program, you know, your chip solutions, can I imagine that there's something similar? There's something similar, like a library solution. And why is that open, whereas maybe you call the other one closed?
Well, ROCm is upstreamed in the standard industry frameworks, and you can work with them. And it's not a proprietary language. And so we're working in an open ecosystem where we can participate and upstream into the higher frameworks, and you can work with that. And that should be the way going forward.
Right. And as you said, open source is one of your guiding principles, right?
Absolutely. Yes. And the ecosystem around with all these partners in there.
Now, one of the pieces you say is not just is next to the performance, next to the ecosystem is inference. And I understand you've got this Lemonade server that you can tell us more about, maybe?
Yeah, that's just one thing, but maybe I can slowly go or can go move a little bit back when we just concentrate on GPUs. I think one of the principles also is, and that when we have all this discussion about AI, it's not just GPUs. There is much more. And I think there is a point where I said quite bold, AMD has the broadest AI portfolio from all semiconductors. So when we talk about getting a GPU working, getting, of course, for the training, but there are CPUs out there as well. There are our Ryzen AI laptops, which are enabled. So you can locally do something. So there's a huge portfolio, and it's not just one chip fits all. And especially when we go into smaller things in the industry, when we talk about robotics or when we talk about automotive, you can't afford just having a huge GPU in there in your trunk in the car. So there are different hardwares for different use cases, and we are very, very well equipped addressing all these different use cases, especially then for the industry.
Very good. Let's stay exactly there. And maybe, I'm not sure, when I, you know, a couple of minutes back when I said, you know, we have the three pillars, hardware, software, and the algorithms. And I said, we're going to concentrate on the hardware, on the chips. Maybe that was wrong. I think you're saying, so your offer is across all three of the pillars. And as you're suggesting here, so yeah, tell us, tell what are mainly industrial AI listeners, decision makers, how shall they be? Have they already been interested in AMD solutions, you know, relating to whatever industrial AI they want to bring to the market? What is it that you have on offer for them?
Well, I think there are several in all the portfolio as well, depending who we are talking to. When we talk about enterprise AI, when we talk about sovereign AI, when we talk about we need to have secure data and we want to have an enterprise server and want to have AI at the edge. And obviously, when we go into Ryzen AI, and we have some offers there called Embedded Plus, so where we have a combination out of our Ryzen AI plus FPGAs, or even our Vertex devices, where we have devices where we have integrated AI engines for industrial use cases. So there's a whole portfolio even there, depending on the use cases.
Very good. What do you see happening? As you say, you concentrate, or one of your focus markets is in industrial. What do you see happening as far as, let's say, industrial AI is concerned? What are the developments, and how do you, as a company, you know, relate to them, or how do you maybe drive specific industrial AI developments from your perspective into the market?
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. And I think that's one of the pillars where we see where we pivot in the moment from just looking at how much performance do I need for AI training and training a huge large language model. That's predominantly GPUs, absolutely. We see more and more use cases where people realize it's not just training. and training workloads at massive scale, market players now going to, it's just give me a GPU, going away to, well, give me a full stack with cost-optimized open infrastructure. So being able to do cost-optimized inference workloads and run AI models very efficiently on a small local model. That's a completely different approach on completely different use case. And that's where we have the GPUs, we have the adapted SoCs at the edge as well. So that's something, well, Xilinx brought into AMD, and that's part of the portfolio.
Very good. You were selected, I understand, as an AMD brand ambassador. Why do you believe, quote unquote, I think it's the quote that I have from you, I guess, AMD is the best positioned company for AI from edge, you just talked about it, to cloud, with the most diverse AI portfolio in the industry?
Well, I think that's, we touched on several points here. It's not just GPU. You always need a server to orchestrate all the workloads. You always have, when you look into edge and cost optimized and power optimized solutions, it's not just one chip and one hardware fits all. And that's the point where AMD has a huge portfolio. Really, we haven't talked about the Radeon cards, the gaming cards. We haven't talked about edge computing. That's in there. There is a big portfolio from the Instinct GPUs from the Radeon cards over to the servers, onto the edge devices and SoC devices for industrial applications.
Very good. Tell us a bit, and thank you very much for getting up this very early just to make the time difference between where you are today, where I am today happening. So tell us where you are typically or normally based, or where your team, your colleagues, where they are based, if you're looking for new colleagues in general, and if so, what should they bring?
Lots of questions, yes. So the AUP team is obviously a global team. So we have teams in Asia, we have teams in the US, and we have a team in Europe. Obviously, my hometown is in the north of Germany. Obviously, I'm traveling quite a lot, and I'm in Toronto in our Toronto office in the moment. And yeah, it's actually, I think, the AI hub in Canada here, Toronto. And yes, we are expanding our team. AMD is always looking for good people in AI worldwide, basically. So even there, we are looking for new people, lots of new people, yes.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for correcting me by having assumed without really thinking about it, saying, you know, we have three pillars. I forgot the data that we didn't talk about. But it's specifically not explicitly hardware, in this case, microprocessors or GPUs, that your company is concentrating on. And I use your quote as an AMD brand ambassador to close off by you saying you have the most diverse AI portfolio in the industry. Jens, thank you very much for your time. Thank you again for getting up this early. And I wish you good luck. Have a great time where you are today.
Thank you very much, Peter. It was always a pleasure being with you, and wish you all the best. Thank you very much.
Thank you.